give a brother to share with us what God has for us. Please have a round of applause.
Thank you very much. That was a good introduction, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very humbled to be here in Hampshire. I want to tell you a simple heart, truth. That's how I praise. If you open, please, into the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12, and my name is Heishimu. Is the Hashimu here? Is it Hausa? And I believe it means stone breaker. I'll take that. And then Heishimu is Swahili and it means respect. Well, I want to start our reading and our message from verse number 6 of the book of 2 Corinthians 12. And I want to work down by God's grace into verse 9. The title of this message is Lest I Should Be Exalted Above Measure, or Exalted Above Measure. And Paul says in verse 6, For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain from boasting in my visions, in the things I've seen from God up in the third heavens in paradise, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. The Apostle Paul was really guaranteed and was guaranteeing us that his boasting, it was not in vain. As he boasted of his ministry, he talked about his sufferings, and left that and started talking about his vision and dreams. But he came back down because the Apostle Paul was not like many of the apostles today who was trying to boast in himself and to get attention and approval unto himself. And here's what I'm trying to say. That God Almighty is so interested in his own glory that anyone who challenges it is on the way down. There is no man that shall glory in his presence. And this goes all the way back into the way of salvation. He calls us spiritually dead so that he can resurrect us. He allowed Adam to fall into trespasses and sin so that he would die spiritually from the moment he ate the fruit that was forbidden. So God Almighty, according to his sovereign will and his good pleasure, he decided that you and I would be in a position because of our own fault, our own fallen Adam, where nobody could help us and we could not even help ourselves, and it would all be on God. I'm thinking about Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Ezekiel was told to preach the true message, the new covenant of God's grace. And he did it, and the bones came together, but there was no light in them. Until God said, Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind, unto the Holy Spirit of God. Plead with the Spirit of God. And so what he showed Matthew is that me and you can preach the true gospel and sound doctrine, and nobody lived for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that salvation is of the Lord from
from start unto finish. If you look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, what were me and you doing to help him? In all actuality, me and you were the ones crying out, away with him, and crucify him, and give us Barabbas. We were the sinners he came unto save. And we added nothing unto him, and he bore the cross, he bore the curse, he bore the wrath of God alone, and there was nobody unto his side to prop him up, that salvation might be in the Lord. In election, in predestination, in redemption, in calling, in glorification, all of our keeping of ourselves from start unto finish, it's of God. And as soon as Peter got lifted up and said, Lord, I'll follow you even unto the death, he fell down. And the cock crowed three times. And Peter, as he remembered his pride, he wept bitterly. And then even when the disciples, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus came and he walked through the door while they were gathered. And he looked at Peter with love and compassion and tenderness, because he knew all along that Peter would deny him. But he would never deny Peter. What is the difference in between Peter and Judas? And the Lord Jesus said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith would never fail. And when you're strengthened, I'm going to strengthen you. And so when you're strengthened, you go help your brothers. You tell them about free grace. And Judas, it had been better for you to have never been born. That's the difference between God and man and confrontation and hell and judgment. And God and absolute mercy unto our souls. And so Paul says, and he knows he did nothing. He's about nothing. It's all grace, and he wants to give all the glory unto God. And he dare not boast above his measure. And just to make sure that you and I do not boast in ourselves, there is given unto us a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, to beat us and to take us down. I was talking to Sister Hadi, and we just met Hadi last week. But she was talking about as to what she heard in the message, I guess, I don't know if it was at the workplace pastor or the one after that, but how God sent the devil unto Paul on purpose. Now I know in our religion, we hear so much about these days, and I think that's why the pastor said, open your heart and put aside your sin. Is that the book we're told, is that God never has anything to do with the devil, and his hands are tied behind his back, and he hates on the devil, but he can't stop the devil, and he just has to wait until he's finished, and then he runs in, I'm so sorry what the devil did unto you. That's not God at all. He sits on the throne. And the devil does not move or wiggle. He doesn't even exist without God's appointment. And the Bible says it has him on a chain. And at the end of time, for a little season, he lets his chain loose for a little while on purpose, because he wants his church persecuted until the end of time. And he will come back up for us when all men hate us and surround us, and then he'll rain down fire out of heaven and take us into his heavenly place. God is in control of all things at all times and all ways everywhere. Isn't that right? That's a God I can put my trust in. I have to. He's God.
But look at verse number 7. Unless, look what Paul said. Lest I, the great apostle Paul, should be exalted after all these visions, all these preachings, all these persecutions overcome, above measure. Unless people would think more highly of me than they ought to think and take their eyes off Jesus Christ and give glory unto the flesh of man. And by the abundance of the revelations, all the things which God showed him, a thorn in the flesh, all his troubles and trials, was what? I didn't stumble upon it. It didn't just show up. What's the text say? Was given unto me. Who gave it?
That's right. The Almighty God.
It was given unto me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. That word means to beat me down. To put me in the corner and make me cry uncle. Unto be that big bully who is scaring me to death, and I have to run home and I have to call my daddy.
That's what he's this for, for right now, until he's cast off into hell. He has a purpose. He has a good purpose to serve God's people by afflicting us and beating us down.
That's what the text says. And we're preachers of God's word. This is the God of the Bible. This is who God is. He gives us a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, to beat us. Why?
Lest I should be exalted above heaven. And so when the Apostle Paul saw our Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he fell down and said, Lord, who are you? And what would you have me do? But he had to get beaten down over and over throughout his life. It's because our pride is so necessary of a humiliation. It needs the fall. The flesh is haughty. I need humbling. There's a pastor at the last place who told me I ought to get married because a wife will tell me things that other people won't. Well, the Holy Spirit tells me things too. I'm a sinner and I'm proud. And he tells me all the time. And he beats me down after a bad sermon, Pastor. After I preached it in the flesh. He beats me down and lets me see I'm nothing. That the next time I might come and speak more of the Holy Spirit. I need a good preaching. And so do you. And it's coming if you're in Christ. It's by the grace of God. The goodness of God. The mercy of God. And to use you and me after he beat us down until we're nothing but the jawbone of a donkey. But that's when Samson picks it up and slides 1,000 of the Philistines after there's some trouble upon us. I'm humble enough and to be used by God. And here's why the trouble comes. Lest I should be exalted above measure. But look in verse number 8. And I don't want to miss 8. I'm going into verse 9, but 8 is important. And concerning this thing, this trouble, this affliction, this persecution, this slander, this hatred of my brethren. Oh, this sickness, this weakness. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been thrown in prison. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm homeless. All the things Paul was talking about and bragging about in 2 Corinthians 11 to prove his apostleship.
The Lord Jesus is interacting with Paul in this text of Scripture, and concerning this thing, Paul says, I pleaded. Oh, if you just beg God, you'll get whatever you want. No. No, no. Humble yourself.
Humble yourself. And delight yourself in the Lord. Then you'll get whatever you want. Because whatever you want is the Lord's Lord. I just want Him. That's my life. That's my all. That's the one thing I desire. Is to behold your beauty. Is to dwell with you in your tabernacle. Is to have the presence of Almighty God. Well, Moses learned now. If your presence ain't going, I ain't going. I don't care what it is. If it's $1 million, I don't care what it is. If it ain't with you, I ain't going to have it. That's a Christian attitude. That's who God meets with, the Almighty God. But Paul is saying, look here, it's about these trials, these afflictions. Sister Hattie, I besought him, I begged him, I pleaded with him. Oh, surely, Paul, you'll get whatever you want. Just have enough faith. No, you'll get Christ Jesus. So much better than whatever me and you want is Christ's grace. He says so. I besought him 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, this teaches me it's okay to pray if I have a broken body. I should go see the doctor. I should be wise. I should use my mind. I should go and see the doctor as I'm praying and not be afraid to go into a hospital as if I'm unspiritual. All these bodies are going to die. I play pro sports, American football. We smash into each other full speed. I'm hurting all the time because of it. This body was not meant for that. And when God cursed us with sin because of our sin, that's what spiritual death is. In the day you eat, you shall die. Adam did not physically. He died in that. He ran from God. As soon as God came, he lied and he blamed God even for his wife. He covered himself with the shame of his sin. That's religion. That's just foolish religion. That's just man's pretense instead of the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. But this body, it was not made unto live forever. I'm going to give a new body. Stop prophesying that people ain't going to die. Yes, they are. Just a matter of time. And glory be to God that the dying is gain if you're in Christ. You're going someplace called a home. It's called paradise. It's called, in this same chapter, things which Paul saw, he can't even mention or utter. Far too glorious. I don't even think his brain is able to communicate it out of his mouth. That's what heaven is. That's paradise. It's the glory of God. To see God as he is, in his greatness, in his mercy, in his compassion, in his infinite power, and to be made like him in Jesus Christ. To see the thief on the cross, custom strategy, but righteous and holy in the sight of an Almighty God with dignity and power as a man should be. A glorified human body. But this body, it can't even bear the pain of childbearing easily because of its Christian mechanism. I very often ask the woman that. But you sisters know the pain of childbirth. That's because the curse is still here that God gave unto Adam in thorns, in sweat. It's going to be hard to get your bread. Is it hard in Nigeria? This is a beautiful cathedral. The air is blowing in Class 2 stadiums. It is not a bad living here. Don't tell nobody, but I've been burning over Lagos. I can't even move them. And you gotta have broad shoulders, they'll walk right through you.
Yeah.
I like it.
But it's all right. If you're hurting, if you're sick, if you're in danger, if you're disappointed, your Almighty God said no about something, if your children are unsaved, if you want your business to prosper, it's okay to pray unto God. But there's one thing that you must do as you pray. Be thankful. In everything you confess. This, whatever it is the will of God towards you in Christ Jesus. No matter what's happening and how hard it is in Nigeria, be faithful for everything you have in Jesus Christ. And don't ever murmur or complain unto God. That was Job's lesson. Lord, you took away my family. And you took away my health. You took away my money. And I've been faithful. I've been the most faithful man on planet Earth. How could you do that? And when God came to him, he humbled himself and put his hand over his mouth and said, I'm vile. Oh, behold, I spoke and I won't speak again. I repent in dust and ashes. How dare I question you? The Almighty. I think we got a nitty-gritty God that we need to flick away and get the true God of the Bible. He does as he wills. And he's God who loves him. We can't give him enough glory and praise, but it is right to pray unto him and say, Lord, have mercy on me and take this thorn away if you will. And see, all the promises in Christ are true. But the promises are spiritual, my sister. It's not land, it's not peace in this land. It's peace in this land. This is where I walk with God. This is the promised land. And the promises are in Christ Jesus. A new heart I'll give you. A new spirit I'll put in you. I'll wash you clean by my precious blood. I'll give my son to you. I'll sacrifice him unto death, and I'll bring you into heavenly places. That's the kingdom that's out of this world. That's the kingdom of God. That's what's real, and it promises never fail. I can go unto that Bible, sir, at any time, and get my blessings as in Christ. Peace, joy, spiritual kingdom. No matter what happens in this world, he can cripple me in this moment, but he won't take away my peace in Christ Jesus. He can take away everything that me and you have, and he won't take away his contentment. Don't be your other hand. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be rich, I can be poor, I can be hungry, I can be full. It really doesn't matter. I prefer air conditioning. I prefer the weather in Joseph. But it really doesn't matter. Wherever he sends me, I'll go and I'll be happy about it. I'll be here. Oh, what a blessed gospel. What a blessed God.
But look here at verse number 9. And I want this to spend some time here and I'll be finished. You paid really good attention, most of you. And I'm very thankful. Verse number 9 says, and he said unto me. Now he didn't say no unto Paul, but you can see by his answer. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You don't need what you think you need. You only need me. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're nobody, I'll show up and I'll be somebody. Look what Paul says. Therefore, most gladly, most cheerfully, most happily, I will rather boast in my weakness, in my infirmity. And here is the key word of the text that I want to bring out here right now. That I will rather boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in my pains, in my sufferings, in my losses, that, and the word is in the Greek, it's in the text, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Paul had a brand new attitude towards his sufferings. Totally different. He's saying that when suffering comes and I can't get out of it by praying it away, I will rather boast in it so that God Almighty can come help me. He's saying, sir, I'll be happy in the midst of sadness by looking unto Jesus Christ. He's saying, if I'm in a fix and I got my back up against the wall and I'm being pressed out of measure, instead of complaining and being bitter and turning unto the flesh and trying to turn off God because I don't have the blessing of comfort that I think I need, I'll be squeezed up against this wall and I would rather glory in it and say, Christ Jesus, this is an opportunity for you to show your strength in my weakness. You're coming. You're faithful to me. You love me. You gave yourself for me and you cannot let me down. It is impossible and I need your grace. I need your grace. I need it. And brothers, if they have the confidence, I'm going to get it because God is faithful. I'm so sick of pretending I have strength when every time I'm weak, he comes and meets me. But only believe me. Don't be weak and then doubt. That's not glorying in your infirmity. It's complaining. It's being bitter against God. But the glory in your infirmity is to know he's faithful. He cannot let me down. He gave the covenant of his blood. You see that? The fact that God raised Christ from the dead means his promises are good. They're called the sure mercies of David. It means our sin's satisfied. It's atoned in full. There's nothing to keep me and you back from the love of God. If in Christ Jesus, he's already resurrected with power. He's the approval that you and I have to God, Jesus Christ. How can he forsake him? It's impossible. In the covenant, God says, he'll give strength unto the weak. He'll give sight unto the blind. He'll give comfort unto the comfortless. And he'll liberate the captives. The whole gospel is for the sinner in his weakness. And his Satan can't help himself. The gospel is for those who cannot help themselves. That's who God is. For his glory. That he be the only one boasting in the house of God. And he boasted himself by the Holy Ghost. That's a God. That's a God. He let us fall into sin on the heat of time. He let the devil own us so that he can pull us out and make us strong. He let infirmities and the weakness happen so that he can show up, our big elder brother. He let me be assured that we can save by the blood. The realm was already slain. He was waiting. He was watching. He knew Adam would fall, but he loved him. And in Christ, he loves us too. My brothers and sisters, be thankful of all times. Make your request known. And obtain mercy. His grace will be sufficient for you. The Apostle Paul has said it. Our Lord Jesus Christ has said it. He wrote it. I guarantee it, but my guarantee is small. You try him by faith in Jesus Christ, and you see what happens to you. You might not get after what you want, but you get his grace, and that's sufficient. May the Lord bless you. How many of you have believed on Christ this night? You trusted him with new power, and you saw his glory. Give God the glory. He came talking to you out of his word and by don't mind, if we have just a couple of minutes, Mr. Brother Hill will pray for us. We are touched.
Amen. Amen. I suppose we have this hypothesis, which worship God in the Spirit, and we have no confidence in the flesh. God is our source. God is our sustenance. This is the essence of it all. God wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit, but we are tools that we flesh. We are born of the Spirit, we are not born of the flesh. If you are born of the Spirit, then let the Spirit supply. Let the Father come sustain. But together, nothing must be beaten down.
That's right.
I'm too strong. Too strong. So let's close our eyes as we thank Him for all the things that He has put in our lives that we also look to Him.
Amen.
Faithful in Him has started a good work. He will do it. He's alive. He will not turn us again and leave us on the road. He's a living God, he's not a dead God. Let's bow down our head. He's our source. Father, you are my source. Our Father who has been living, that's it. He said, He has given us the spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. He didn't just adopt us, but He gave us the spirit. Let's ask Him for the sake of Jesus. Lord, perfect what you started in me. Perfect that you started from eternity. He has performed us for His glory. Say those who we follow, then we also come. And those who you call, then they have also presented, they are justified, then they are glorified. The Father has an aim, He has an aim, it's our glorification. But this thing must move away from the road. That will not allow us to enter into the full purpose. Let us ask Him. Father, you began to walk. When I was without strength, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
How much more now? Say we shall be saved by His life. For His life, Jesus is our. We are not in order, we are in the living head. Jesus is our living head. It's our source. It's our life. It's our strength. It's our wisdom. It's our sanctification. Even holiness, it comes also from Him. He must be all in all.
Come
in the Alpha and the Omega. He doesn't start more from the Spirit and you want to perfect in the flesh. No, 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 no. That's foolish, Galatia. What is begun, it must finish. Let's talk to our God. Oh Lord. And the blood is there also to cleanse us. The blood is continually crying. Mercy. Mercy. God surrounded us. He has made provision for everything concerning our glorification. Let's not lift our hands to Father. Perfect one who has started in me. Lord, take anything of my flesh. Whatever it is in me that is not conforming me to your glorification, Father, thank me. And thank you for it. When you came to give thanks to your wife, Father, thank you for this, for that lack that made me to run to you to depend on you. Thank you for that need in this area. Oh, my dear, what glory can we boast about flesh? It's not glory. Nothing we call glory is not. When we see the glory of the power of resurrection, we know what glory is really is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are the Father of our spirit. Thank you for making every provision available in Christ. Thank you, Lord, because you will not spare us because we are crying. It's impossible that if you are without chastisement. It's the Father of our spirit, He will chastise us. Those who love, He will chastise. If we are without correction, then we are faster. Because He wants us to be perfect as His holiness. Why are we moving on? Why are we complaining? Let's thank Him for that. And as Father, we thank you that we are not bastard.
Thank you, sir.
So we look up to Jesus, the Alpha and the Finisher of our faith. And we thank Him because those who look to Him shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
Even now, some of us are coming and dying in it. Empty, weak, sin, wretched, poor, blind, hopeless, nothing in sight. We are tried and dry bone. Just like Sarah, but we are the Father of the covenant. You are God who promised the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, we ask as many as come to you this day, you will quicken, you will start the work. You will put life in the temple. You will revive when there is deadness. Oh, Father, so that it might be by promise, it will not be by work, but it will be by grace, it will be by faith. Oh, Father, look for your people here. As many as come to you, Father, let that life begin. Let
Amen.
Have mercy upon us. Thank you, Almighty Father. We depend on you. That we may know you and the power of your resurrection. That we be found in you, not having the righteousness of our own, which is according to the law. Oh, Father, that we be found in Christ. That we rest in your Son. That we glory in your Son. Oh, Father, that we walk in our high places. That the word of salvation might be open and continually flow through. We are part of your Son. We are not part of Adam. Oh, God, that we might live in your presence. That we might walk as a living soul. We look to you, O God. Deliver us from passion. Deliver us from our weakness. Deliver us from our self-confidence that we never put. Deliver us from every antichrist spirit in us. God, that opposes your Son. That we want to make us to boast in ourselves. Oh, Father, have mercy. For by grace we are saved. By grace we are saved. It's not of work. We cannot boast, Father. Help us to continue by faith. Trusting you alone. Looking to you alone, Father. Help us when we are weak. Help us to glory that we are already complete in your Son. Father, thank you that you raised him up for our justification.
Amen.
We are so grateful.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.